In verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus Christ. "And the Word was with God." That's right here. The God here. "And the Word was God." That's hard for people to comprehend. I told him, I don't understand the Bible. I said, "God's not going to hold you accountable for understanding. He's going to hold you accountable for believing what His Word says. That's the truth. You don't have to understand golly. You think I understand everything in it? I wish I did. Holy man. Or some of it, a lot more of it than what I got now. But we know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was God. Could not see it." And you know, I know some grace believers too that can't see that. They're saved. They say their testimony is this: forgiveness of sin, past, present, and future. How come they can't believe the Godhead? How come they can't believe that there's a Trinity? And I use the equilateral triangle, what I call it, of 60 degrees in each one. They're all equal. All those angles are equal. They're all equal, total up 180 degrees. But 160, 60, and 60, that's what you got right there. Each one of those is different persons of God. Personages, I'll call it. You may have a different word for it. You may say something different. Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God." Who was? The Word was. Hold on to where you're at. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 13. It's talking about the Father in verse 12. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, sinfulness, iniquity, enmity with God, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." And hath, that's past tense. I am in the kingdom of His dear Son. Is that not what it's saying? Past tense. Doesn't happen. The moment that I trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. You are saved by the gospel of the grace of God, the finished work of Christ at the cross. There ain't nothing else you can add to or take away from. That's the gospel. Now, talking about Jesus now, His dear Son, the kingdom. Kingdom of what? This individual had people coming by his house every week. They bring him one of the little magazines, and he sat in there and talked to them. He told me yesterday that he's in the kingdom. He's going to be in the kingdom. Well, where is that kingdom? 7 years. Christ comes back. This is the millennial kingdom. That's what I want to get to. He said there's going to be 144,000 in there. That's what Revelation said. They're going to be there. Don't get me wrong. They're going to be virgins and chaste and so forth.
Is he a virgin?
I don't know.
He ain't going to be there.
We're in the kingdom of God. A spiritual, invisible kingdom. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. You can't see it. You know, that sounds like God, doesn't it? God is a spirit. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't touch it, feel it, or see it. It's a spirit. Now, when you think of a spirit, what do you think about? Ghost. God is a spirit. Now, but we're in the kingdom of His... What's this kingdom? He didn't translate us into that kingdom, but He said He translated us into a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. A literal on-earth kingdom where children is going to be born. Children are going to be going to school. People are going to be working, doing this and doing that. They're going to be total peace. But still, it's a different kingdom that we've been translated into. And it said so. Verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God." That ought to tell somebody something. That Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, this is, for by By him, who is that? Jesus Christ.
Were all things created.
Uh-oh! Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What? It says, for by him were all things created. Doesn't that tell you that God and the Word is the same? It does me. People can't see this. I mean, it's simplistic. And you don't have to understand it, okay? Because the question came up, where did God come from? Maybe there's another God in a different universe. Oh, come on. Let's continue reading. For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Doesn't that consume everything? Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Listen to verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, back over in John, verse 3. All things were made by him. Well, I just believe that. And without him was not anything made that was made. So, to me, we have solved the problem of things being made. Verse 4. In him, in who? Jesus Christ, the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. You know, he is referenced in the Old Testament as S-U-N. Son. You know that, right?
Son of righteousness.
Exactly. What does the sun do for us? It shines its light on us so we can live here. Without the sun, we're dead. I'm talking about the sun you see rising up in the east and going down in the west. It references that S-U-N of righteousness for a purpose. He is the light. You know, there was light before God created light.
Yeah.
Oh, think about that. The radiance of God in the Word and the Holy Spirit. There was light. I believe it's Genesis 1:4. I'm not 100%, but I think that's close. So I want you to see what we're talking about. Jesus Christ now created all things, and he is equal to God, and we're going to get into that. And he is the light, in verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, go over to verse 11. He, Jesus Christ, the Word, came unto his own. Who is his own? The Jews. Not you. And his own received him not. And we know by that he blinded their eyes. But as many as he as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Can we believe on his name and be saved today? No.
No. No, that's the Jews, yeah. To believe in the Messiah.
Right. We cannot believe on Jesus' name and be saved. We have to trust in the finished work of the cross.
Right.
But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you could believe on the name of Jesus and have your salvation, but you really didn't have it until you had remission. Until the second coming. Then the fountains would open up and you would be cleansed of all your sins. You were in remission. Remission now, listen, follow me on this. I'm going to jump over there for a minute. Remission is forgiveness. Don't get me wrong. But remission, you have to see when it's you. Peter's sins was in remission.
That's usually Old Testament remission. And redemption is New Testament.
Watch this. Remission, they're going to get... See, we have our atonement. Romans 5:12, right?
Mm-hmm.
They, 5:11. Oh, thank you. But they don't. They have remission. They have to endure until the end of their life or until the second coming. And they did. They endured until the end of their life. Now, who didn't? Ananias and Sapphira didn't. They could lose their salvation. Their names could be stricken out of the book of life. Ours can't. If our name could be stricken out of the book of life, then God lied to us when He says, "You're sealed," as Jim says. I'm sealed. My name cannot be stricken out of the book of life because I'm not in it. But still, let's continue to read it. They believed only the name. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, this is why he was having such a hard time. He can't believe God, the Father, and Jesus Christ are the same, but different. I mean it. Come on. Do you believe? Do you really believe they are? I do. That's what it says, so I believe. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to John chapter 10. And I told him, I said, "Now look, the only thing you know about God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is the fact that it was written in this book called the King James Bible. Only thing. God never come down and whispered to anybody, told any preacher, or nothing else. The only thing, if you've ever heard the gospel, it came out of this book here." And on a side note, I got a message just today, and I looked at it, and I said, "Oh my gosh, y'all know who Matthew Henry is?" Yes. What kind of stock you put in him? Wait, what do you believe about that? About Matthew Henry's writings?
He wrote a whole lot, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It's hard to read.
Did you know, this is a quote, and it's not going to be quotes, but this is what it says. The gospel is in the heavens. It's written. It's written in stone. No, it ain't. Not for us. Now, I've read Bullinger's book, Witness of the Stars, and all that. And you know what? Prior to any written word, the gospel that God wanted them to hear was in the stars, the celestial. But that's not the gospel. We know that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But He treats His people, when I say His people, I'll just say all mankind, differently in different dispensations. So we cannot look up at the moon and the stars and the plants and the trees and find our gospel. I don't care what Matthew Henry said. You can't do it. What is the gospel? Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead for your justification. Can you find that in the stars? Now, what God wanted those people back in Adam's time and whatever, you can look up there and you can see what is those things? Virgo, and what's that called?
Constellations,
yeah. And, you know, you can go to Virgo, Cancer, and Libra. There's all kinds of things in there. That's far above my head. Now, Bullinger understood that, or at least he's got me fooled into thinking that he did. I can't prove it. But I believe it. I believe there were no written words. So how were they going to see that there was a God? You can look at the seasons and tell there's four seasons here anyway. We're born, and people actually could look at each other, and they would probably die 20, 25 years old. I don't know how old they were. They were young after you got through all those others. You look up, you can see things. And God used to talk to His people. God used to talk to people. Talk to Moses. Does He talk to you? Not audible, He doesn't. It's through the written word. So I just want to tell you, Matthew Henry, that when people read believe that, you really got to be careful what these people write. Now, that's not an insignificant thing. Somebody could read that and say, you know, I'm looking out on the other moon. I see it going down. I see it coming up. Oh, it's got to be something. But what is it? It's God. It's the Creator. They may get to that point. They see a fire, a lightning. It just tears up all these trees. Then all of a sudden, you see the new growth coming in. When a person dies, before they do, they have a child. You see a little child, a little baby. You take care of it. Ingrid, so it's going to die. And then it's just a cycle. You know there's something up there. There's a Creator. But if it wasn't, it would just end. But that doesn't save us. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You're saved by a gospel. And I don't know how anybody in this dispensation of the age of grace can possibly ever be saved without trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just don't, it's just not there. And there's not more than one way to be saved. I don't care what religion you want to pick on. Religion, as I said, will send you to hell. Now, yes?
I just said amen.
Oh, okay. John chapter 10. I want you to just read this one verse. Verse 30. I and my Father am one. Just, there ain't no guessing what it says, is it?
Can't get any clearer.
That's just simple. God made it simple for us to understand. They're one. They're one. You know, and I plan on doing something else today about the body, soul, and spirit, but I backed out because of the conversation yesterday. I wanted to address this. But we're one human being. We've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. There's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're in unity with each other. So I and the Father are one. It doesn't get any plainer, and all you've got to do is just believe what the Bible says, as it says it, where it says it, to whom it says it. It's saying it to us.
Look at verse 33.
Let's read it. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, make thyself God.
Jesus is God.
I'm telling you. But now the book, the Bible, the King James, it goes into details about other gods. There are other gods. But there's only one God. And he says, I'm a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. You think he meant it? When people in the Old Testament there went against God, the earth separated and swallowed them up. Now, whether you believe that or not, I do. I believe the earth opened up, they went in it, and he closed it back. God is God. Do I believe that he stopped time and made it run backwards? Oh, yes. Fine. Because it said so. Oh, go over to John 8, would you? John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Let me go back again. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Where did you just see that? In John. What? John chapter 1. The light came into the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's who Jesus Christ is. He is the bread of life. He is the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record's not true. But it was. How about going to John 14? Let's see what he said. Listen, you've got the Son of God, the Son of Man, sitting there talking to these people. We don't have that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just like that guy said, well, I've seen that spirit rising up out of her body. I've seen it, and I believe now. What? You're going to believe because you saw a spirit? No. You don't see a spirit. Now, I believe he saw it, but I believe it's of Satan, like I said before. Is it going to cause you to believe? No. But there's a lot of people that way. John 14. Let me get over there to it.
Because you're believing in the wrong gospel.
You're believing in the wrong Jesus.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what? I'll tell you. If you really did trust the gospel of the grace of God, I do not believe you would be believing in those things. Why? Because you're going to go to Romans 2, Philemon to find the gospel. You're going to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, around away from everything else. What does that do? Takes you out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in his earthly ministry. Puts you into his heavenly ministry. He gave to the Apostle Paul, and he gave to Timothy and other apostles, which in turn has been given to us so we can tell the truth. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, that's Philip in verse 8, How I've been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You can't make it any better. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Oh, my goodness.
What was the reference that you used for the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N? Was it Jeremiah?
Malachi 4.
Malachi 4?
I believe Malachi 4. Yeah, 4:2. Malachi.
See, that's so good whenever somebody asks you a question. Somebody in this room knows. And this is what I was telling somebody. I said, man, you really got to be, you got to pretty well know what you're doing, because we got all these people that know the truth in here. And that's what's so good. If it's not right, somebody's bound to say, hey, look, wait a minute, let's go look it up, because that don't sound right. I like that. I like that. Now, John 14, 9. I've already read that, and I believe I did. Yes. Back it up to John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, unto who? Thomas, back in verse 5. I am the way, and that's true for us today, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's an absolute true fact we can apply to our dispensation. It's a true fact for them, and it's a true fact for us. We make an application. For if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have, what?
Seen.
Seen him. Looking at Jesus, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. My goodness. Let's see what Matthew 1 says.
Can't see without the Son.
That's true. That's true. Now this, we read this last week in a different context. Behold, verse 23, Matthew 1. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. We know that's Mary. We know it's talking about Jesus in verse 21. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which being interpreted is,
God with us.
Who's with us when Jesus was here? It was God. God with us. That was Jesus in the flesh, but it was God in the Spirit. Because God is a Spirit, and we worship Him in Spirit and in truth. I don't see no problem. Go over to Colossians chapter 2.
That's what I'm reading. Verse 10.
We're getting there, yes.
I'll just read it out.
Verse 9. For this cause we, whoever's in the entourage with Paul, also since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Listen, number 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Where'd you go, Byron?
You missed supposed to go to Colossians 2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're in chapter 1.
You're in chapter 1.
Oh, come on, man.
Now you'll get where you want to be.
Yeah, that's where it's at. Or in Him. Yeah. Yes, thank you, guys. Well, go to verse 6 first. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. And in verse 9, for in Him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's all there.
Amen.
And I'm just going to hit 10 because Richard loves it and so do I. And you are complete in who?
Yeah.
Christ. Which is the head of all principality and power. It's just great. Yeah, I appreciate y'all catching that. I got another reference here that I went over last night. Let me see if I want to use it. Yeah, I do want to use it. Go to Philippians chapter 2.
So we don't have the word Trinity in the Bible. It uses the word Godhead.
Yes.
Trinity.
Absolutely. Even in 1 John 5, 7, it talks about the three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to what? Be equal with God. Can you hear somebody out here saying today, one of these, I'm equal with God? No. Jesus Christ didn't think it was robbery and He was doing anything wrong when He said, I'm equal with God because He was God in the flesh.
Amen.
You know, and I tell you, I went over some of these scriptures with Him yesterday. He said, I don't care. I just know all I need to know. But He doesn't. If you're not going to believe what the Bible says, you don't know everything you need to know. We know that no man comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. Now go to John 8, and let's take a look at that real quick. John 8. Let me see. I want to go to 58. John 8, 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What's God's name in the Old Testament?
I am.
I am. I just love that. But let's back it up to verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Of course he saw Abraham. You're not 50, how can you? We're talking hundreds and hundreds of years. And you were there? Yeah, I'm the great I am. Yeah.
I remember there was a man in the church where I pastored, and he said that before Jesus Christ, it was King Tut.
What?
Yeah. And he was the treasurer of the church.
Before, it was King Tut?
Yeah, he was amazing.
Get
Oh, no wonder.
I mean, it ain't funny, but it's laughable. Oh, good God.
Thank you so much.
And that was the Southern Baptist Church, and it was where we were at.
Mr. Bamberg?
No, it wasn't Mr. Bamberg. It was, the treasurer of that church.
Oh, yeah.
But that was our movie song. And then,
the thief. That
and that's what stirred up the Masons. Boy, they went after me then.
Good. Verse 59, guys, the same chapter. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through. Come on. Going through the midst of them and so passed by. Stone this man. It's just the time wasn't right, was it? No. The scripture should be fulfilled by prophecy. It was not right. You know, and he's talking in Matthew, we ain't got to go over there, but he's talking about, I could call down legions of angels. God's in charge of them. But he could call them down, so that means God, in the flesh, Jesus could have called them down himself. In John chapter 10, John spoke unto the Pharisees. He said, I am the door.
There's seven I ams of Jesus in John. Which says I am something.
And there's a bunch of other stuff in here. But we know the Jews were blinded. And I want to move on to something else. I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians 15. As you go over there, as I go over there, I want you to know, you see very few people in here today. It's not disheartening to me. I'd love to have a whole class full. But I was going over some of my things the other day, and there was a flow chart in there of Brother Moore. And where he drove 600 miles a week to preach to seven people. One of the greatest preachers I've ever known, ever heard of. Seven people, 600 miles a week. That's a lot of driving. That's dedication. Because only one might have needed it. I'm talking about to get saved. And if they were all saved, somebody be edified by the Word of God because of their learning. Someone in that class, it went on fire. If you see that, it's like an AMA program that's spreading out. My gosh, if the people out of that one class that have been on to be preachers and teachers, and then they've spread out their pyramids, it's all on account of D.C. Moore was preaching to seven people and driving 600 miles a week. I had a person up in my office ask me the other day, he says, boy, I can't see how you can come up here for one or two or three people. Sometimes we have seven or eight, and sometimes more, but normally it's three to five, and we had about three the other day. She says, I just can't see how you can drive up here to do this. Well, it's not my wish that there's one, two, or three. The fact that it is, it's not my call.
It's your wish to be there.
It's my wish to be there. And it's the Lord's will to put me there safely to talk about, preach about, discuss, whatever He
one person
wants me
to
do. So now, over in 1 Corinthians 15. Because see, you've had some people that don't believe in that Jesus is God. Well, He's the Son. Well, the Bible says they're the same. Yes. And in 1 Corinthians 15, there's something else that comes along with this about salvation that I wanted to cover here. And I'm going to start in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, and that's what we look at here, we've established Jesus as the Word, God's the Word. But for this justification here, He had to rise from the dead. We know that Peter preached Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead. Sit on David's throne. Nothing about salvation now. But the resurrection is what?
that all those sins were cut away from him. And that's Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. I believe it's 11. With the circumcision made
without hands.
All those, I mean, not physically circumcised, he was on the eighth day as being a Jew, but those cut away his circumference, circumcision. So all the sins of the world and all of our sins, we were circumcised, Jesus Christ was, in our place, and they cut them off of him. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You had people saying that at that time period. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? If Christ is not resurrected from the dead, then yes, our preaching is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not.
I want to make a little point
there. Absolutely.
You know, those that preach, you know, Christ crucified for just salvation, in other words, that he died for our sins, that's all you need to believe. That verse right there, you know, talking about the resurrection and how important the resurrection is.
That's proof.
Yeah.
If you that's proof.
If you don't preach the resurrection, then a part of the gospel, then you're missing it.
I'm going to finish reading this. I'm going to find another scripture while you were talking there.
Hebrews 1:8.
What, have you got it right there?
I do.
Read it.
But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, speaking to the Son, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. I mean, that pretty well nails it down. And Jesus says he's God.
Amen. Yet there's no witnesses around. That's God talking to
you. Well, that's who was talking to, my friend.
That's
why he's going into the kingdom. There's going to be 144,000 there. And that's who's. That's all that's going to be there. Now how, I mean, common sense tell you better than that. Come on. Jeez.
You know, I was telling you about that guy from Hickory Hammock talking to Nanette.
Yes.
He was talking about the 24 elders.
Uh-huh.
And he told her that, he said, don't worry about that number. The 24 is just a number.
That's what it says in the scripture in Revelation. Good God. Now, like I say, it shouldn't be laughable, but it is. Okay, now look. It says in verse 12 again that some people say there's no resurrection of the dead. I want you to hold on where we're at there in Corinthians and flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings. And that's what people are doing whenever they're saying there's no resurrection. For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and that's what would happen. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Who, concerning the truth, have erred. What is that truth? That Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But what I wanted you to see there is the fact that there's two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, that were doing exactly what was spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. You know the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. The Pharisees, the strictest sect of the Jews, did. But the Pharisees, at one point in time, was in charge themselves in the Sanhedrin. So, but see, you've got people saying, well, there's no such thing as a resurrection. And there's no such thing as, if it is, it's done happen, and you missed the boat. Now, back over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins.
Right.
And that's a true fact in itself. If you don't believe, if Jesus Christ is not raised, he didn't take all your sins over here. But if he took all your sins and he went into the grave where he was regenerated, circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, he had to be resurrected. And whenever you go back to the throne room, and that's where he's at, in the third heaven, on the right-hand side of the Father, and all I'm doing is just telling you what it says. That's where he's at. He cannot go there with a sin on him. Why? Why can't he? Because what separated God from mankind in the first place, in the garden? Sin. God turned his back. And he said, huh? Now, what did God do here? The Father turned his back on his own son. The earth turned black. And he gave up the ghost. But God could not look upon him. The Holy Spirit left him. The only time in history that will ever happen, the Holy Spirit left one of the Trinity.
Where does it say that? He left the Trinity.
I don't know. I really, right off the bat, I don't know. Yes.
What could we say that, in other words, the man Christ, he was both God and man.
Yeah.
He left the man Christ Jesus, but he never left the Trinity.
No, well, he had to. Because God is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They're all one and the same.
So if they're one, then
one left.
One didn't leave. They're all, because it's all
had to, because he turned it. He couldn't. God cannot look upon sin and commune with sin. And the Holy Spirit dwelling in the man.
Christ Jesus.
Well, if the Holy, well, you got, but see, that's a debate of what happens here. God, and that was come up yesterday too. He said, he was just the Son of Man. No, he wasn't.
He was the Son of God and the Son of Man.
And the Son of Man. Right. You believe he had all deity?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit left him. Yes. But he had all deity, which means he's God.
I agree with that.
Which, you know, when you think of it in that term, that's what I am. But God turned his back.
If you find out where it says the Holy Spirit left him, I need to know what that verse is, because I don't. The Bible should
well,
say the Holy Spirit left him.
Here, let me go with this.
Well,
because here's what happens.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost departed from him. When it departed. The Holy Spirit departed.
Joy, long, 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 fast, and I.
My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
That's where I get thrown off. I'm not.
Oh, no, I know.
On this line, what you're saying.
I'm just trying.
I'm saying that the Jew, all the Jews knew, they all knew the Psalms. And Jesus made reference to Psalm 22. My God, why is I forsaken? But if you read the entire Psalm, God never forsake him. Never did. And Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. So God does see sin.
So it's both. That's what you're saying. Is he both look and turn his
back? You know what I'm saying is, Jesus is God. He can't turn himself on himself. He can't turn his back on himself. He was never in any trouble. He was dying for our sins.
But here's the thing. God cannot commune with sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross as a sinless, just person.
Amen.
All of a sudden, here's where, when the sin was placed upon him, God could not have anything to do with him. He had to turn his back on him, just like he did Adam. He had to. You can't, because if God, if one of the Holy, God's in heaven, in the third heaven, the Holy Spirit was in him, the Holy Ghost was, but the Holy Ghost had to leave him because the Holy Ghost could not commune with him at the same time. Maybe it's by deduction that I got it. I don't know. But we'll look into depth on that and we'll study that.
Yeah, I know. I don't have a problem.
I want
to know because it is.
We just
established today beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is God and God is Jesus.
Right.
It is him. And you say, and you can't say God turned his back on him because he'd be turning his back on himself.
Yeah, but he is.
For he has made him to be sin for us,
right?
who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God
in him,
in God. So he took our place. He took our sin, and in return, it was a swap. He took our sin. He gave us his righteousness. What a deal.
Well, look at it like this. Here, we'll get to you. Look at it like this. Take Jim Sims, for example.
Yeah.
Before you were saved, you did not have the Holy Spirit living in you. Because you are a sinner in need of a Savior. The moment that you got saved, as they trusted the Holy Spirit, moved in.
Now I'm sealed.
Okay, moved in. But in this case, Christ was sinless. He wasn't like us. But sin did move in. Something has to move out. The Holy Spirit moved out when sin moved in. But that's the key in Titus 3:5. Let's look at it real quick. Let's just jump on over there and we'll finish up with it. Let's look at Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By, and this is not us, by the washing of regeneration. That's being born again. Listen, here's where you're at, Jim, and this is your answer. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. We never have the Holy Ghost to be renewed with, only Christ had it. So the Holy Ghost had to be renewed in Jesus. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. The key renewing. But see, you've got preachers out here that's out there saying, and some of you might believe this, I've taught on it before, but the fact of it is, you never had, as an unregenerate person, you never had the Holy Ghost living in you. So how could you be regenerated with it? Put it back. Read. It just don't work. People don't look at that scripture there. Death. Renewing. So, here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit, like I said, if the Holy Spirit left him, God saw his son as nothing but sin, sent him in here, whole ball of wax, went in and captive and all this good stuff. Now, when this was cut away, these sins was cut away, he was renewed with the Holy Spirit, which is going to let him ascend up into heaven to sit on the right-hand side of the Father. But like I say, one of the big scriptures that people, they've been taught this, they firmly believe it, they've got to open their mind and heart up and study this, is Titus 3:5, renewing, because a man never, ever was renewed with it because you never did have it. And once we have it in this dispensation for us, we can't lose it. Okay, but those people could in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah, and in Hebrews.
Renewing is the key to what I think where you're at.
Any scripture outside of Romans 3, Philemon, it's...
But just think about that. When we got saved, we weren't renewed with the Holy Spirit because we never did have it before. That's a big deal. That is a big scripture. Anyway, hopefully you got one thing.